Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Being on stage feels like someone else, but also more yourself than you've ever felt.
This feels like getting to live in your imagination.
Seeing everyone again brought back so many memories.
Being able to be in this show will be one of the greatest treasures of my life.
Hey, yo, welcome to the new year, bitches. It's 2022, and we're in Patreon with cheese. How you doing, Liz?
As always,
I'm joined by my wonderful editor, Liz Esten. That's what I do, isn't it?
Yes, that's what you say. That is correct. It's been a while, so I understand.
It's been a minute.
This is the first episode of the year.
Yeah. Once again, we're going to take a little break next week, and we're going to talk about all that jazz. But we're back at Encore at the moment. So, Liz, episode 6 of Encore. We're talking about Oklahoma. I forget what city this is from, but it felt very white.
It's Georgia.
That is the reason it felt very white.
Yes, we're in Georgia. In Georgia this time. We're whiter than we were in Texas.
Crazy. I mean, Texas. Texas is a little bit more, a little bit more metropolitan lately. Liz, I don't think you're going to agree with me on this. In fact, I'm certain you're not going to agree with me on this, but this is the best episode of the series so far.
Yeah, I fully agree.
What? No, what? You're crazy. I don't believe that.
I fully agree with Jess. It's a miracle.
I think this is the best case scenario for what this kind of show could be. We have big life changes. Our two leads fell in love and are still together somehow. One of the gentlemen that played a very big dancing character unfortunately did become paraplegic, and then he discovered that that didn't handicap him away from becoming be able to sing and dance on stage. And Allie Stoker comes in and is like, hey, I'm awesome, and I'm Allie Stoker, and you could be awesome like me, Allie Stoker.
Allie Stoker is amazing. Shout out to her.
She's incredible.
She's incredible.
Cast her as Nessa in the Wicked movie, you cowards.
Seriously, cast her as Nessa, people. Please. I mean, I first saw her on the Glee project, unfortunately.
I mean, we all got to stop somewhere. Isn't that where Supergirl was found? Like on the Glee
project? No, that was where Blake Jenner was found. He won the show.
Blake Jenner?
Yeah.
Is that like one of the Kardashians?
No, he's unrelated to the Kardashians.
Okay.
He's unrelated. He's very white.
Fair enough.
He's also in the Merrily We Row Along movie. He's also a piece of shit.
Oh, that guy. Yeah,
that guy. Fuck him.
Yeah, I mean, no one watches Merrily for Frank, to be honest. Let's be clear. We watch it for Jason Alexander as the producer, and that's it.
That's what I've learned watching
first Broadway
one
role.
Song from Merrily. So.
That's the best song in Merrily. That's like one
great
of my favorite
song.
Songs ever.
It's a great song. It was stuck in my head for like a solid minute or so.
I think I performed that song once for Emily Clark and Christy as an audition to be in one of Emily's cabarets. So, and I performed You Got Trouble instead because I got nervous about doing it. But I do love that song, and it's one of the few Sondheims that I could basically do verbatim beginning to end. It's a great, great song.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're talking about Franklin Shepard Inc. We're not talking in code.
We're hinting at a video Encore, that's though. In production.
Maybe the video will no, it won't, because this is posting literally tomorrow.
Literally, it's supposed
or tonight.
Yeah, tonight. Yeah.
Literally, as soon as we're done recording these, I will literally do a quick, dirty edit and get this up there.
You're getting this nice and fresh. Fresh
yeah,
and toasty.
Fresh.
It's a fresh, toasty
What's
episode.
In the news right now? Sydney Poitier died?
Yeah, Sydney Poitier died today. It was very sad. 2022 is kicking our ass. We already lost Betty.
Yeah, but sadly, Rocco still survives.
Rocco is still fucking here. Fucking Rocco.
Stealing the oatmeal raisin cookies from Elmo.
Rocco can't even fucking eat a cookie. This is fucking absurd.
Sometimes Twitter's good.
Sometimes that Twitter was delightful.
That was what Twitter was like in 2014.
Yeah.
You weren't there, but I promise you, it was nice.
I was not there. I got Twitter in 2015 because I had to for a college class. So. Yeah. Now I still have Twitter.
Yeah.
Follow me on Twitter at Elizabeth Esten.
Sucks. Follow her on Twitter.
I never tweet, but I'm basically a Musical Cheese promotional account. So I'm just here to remind you that Musical Cheese stuff exists.
I don't think that's fair. If you tweet about literally anything else, I still retweet it. That's the rule.
Jess is the ultimate Twitter hype man.
I try to be.
Yeah. You succeed.
I try to be. Sometimes it doesn't even work for me. I'm not even my own hype man sometimes.
I quote tweeted sideways and it got to 50 likes, which is a record for me. So
really?
I don't get that many likes.
Oh. I think my most was probably when Sondheim died and I got like 50,000 likes.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, that tweet where you mentioned the Bernadette reference in Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh, yeah. That was big.
That went huge.
That got into a Howard Ho video, and I was just casually watching, and then he mispronounces my last name, and I was like, "You did what now?" And that was how I found out Howard Ho follows me.
People mispronounce my last name. People say Easton when I was younger. They said like, "Oh, your name's Easton, right?" I'm like, "No, there's no A."
I mean, my last name's a little bit more embarrassing. Like, not a week goes by where some troll doesn't come into my Twitter and it's like, I'm restraining from making a joke about your last name. Like, I've heard them all. Don't worry.
Yeah, no. You told me if you can make jokes about my last name one time. So I'm like, no. I refuse.
I don't want to. I refuse. McAnally, my favorite one was when I worked for the government and this great girl, we're still in touch, comes up to me and she's like, Jesse McConnelly? And I was like, that is my favorite mispronunciation ever.
That's amazing. I would just go with that the rest of your life.
That was a good mispronunciation that I preferred to my real name.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Encore.
I know, Oklahoma.
Wow. What do you think of the musical Oklahoma? I know you had to do some work on it in the past for reasons we won't disclose here, but
yes.
What do you think of it?
I don't mind Oklahoma. There's aspects to it that slightly bother me, but I think to a degree you can scratch it up to A, the time period which the play was written, and the time period it takes place. I'm not saying there's aspects of it that aren't like sexist and kind of gross. Especially, like, the masculinity of it. But, like, it's, like, especially the Poor Judd is Dead song, which doesn't even feature in this episode because this is a kid-friendly version.
I love that song, though.
It's a really good song. It's really compelling. Rodgers, Hammerstein, good work.
Okay, we're going to talk about Rodgers and Hammerstein for a second because yes, I am currently on a carousel high at the moment. Do you know anything about Carousel, aside from, like, my references? I don't know if you saw
it. I watched your
video.
I did watch your dumb video on Carousel. I enjoyed it. So.
I flip-flop back and forth on Carousel every other day. There is just one 10-minute scene that is so good that carries the rest of the 3-hour musical. Like, there is a 10-minute song in this show that is so flippin' good that you don't care the rest of it ain't that great. The score is immaculate. I'd say the first 35 minutes of this show is a perfect musical. The first 35 minutes, zero faults, 10 out of 10, perfect musical. And then the rest of the show happens. However, I am a director in real life. You know this, Liz. That's kind of what I do for my
real
world.
Yeah, and the first line in your Twitter bio is Google calls me a film director.
I don't know why Google knows that, but that is what they have me under when you Google my name. It says Jesse McAnally, film director.
You're a director. I've seen some of your films. They're good. So.
Yes. So I'm going to pitch to you. Who owns it? Warner Brothers. Come to me. I have a pitch for the Carousel film to make it finally work.
Okay.
I will shoot it just like Spielberg did West Side Story.
I took a pitching class once, so I'm ready.
All right. You're going to give me a grade. All right. Picture this. We have a problematic lead in Billy Bigelow. He is a man that hit his wife, steals to try to provide for this child that's unborn. And when he gets caught, he kills himself, goes to heaven. And then they're like, you were a piece of shit, but you can go down for one day and try to fix things up. And then he goes down, meets his daughter, immediately hits her. And then he goes back up to heaven. They're like, you fucked up. One job. Don't hit her.
And then he goes back.
He goes back down again. She's graduating high school, and he's like, you know what? And he's like, my sins aren't the sins of my daughter, and this other people's success aren't their success. Make your own way. And that sinks in for her, and he gets a slight redemption. All right. So that's the basic summary of Carousel in and of itself.
For those of you who didn't know, including me.
Some of the most gorgeous music you've ever heard in it. The Carousel Waltz, which is just an opening overture. One of the best musical pieces ever written, in my opinion. And I don't even like classical musicals all that much. So here's my pitch. Who is America's problematic fave that constantly does shit that pisses us off, has a great singing voice, is from Boston, where this musical takes place, or Rhode Island, like Clambake is
New
literally
England,
the
New England area. Yeah.
Yes. So, who would it be? I'm picking Seth MacFarlane. He keeps doing all these horrible things, has this very edgy persona, but for some reason we always keep coming back, and he has the voice of an angel, and he can do a good Rhode Island accent that isn't distracting. So we cast him, we have the integrated Family Guy audience coming in, he can nail this role, we kind of rough him up a bit, we got him as our lead. We've already got the preordained audience coming in. We already have this incredible score. So how are we going to fix up this storyline? Well, we don't make it explicit. We kind of make the wife beating a little bit more implied and a lot less explicit. A much more unintentionally emotionally abusive due to his own stuff going on in his world. Seth MacFarlane could play that. He doesn't have much range, but he has little bit.
No.
Then who do we get who is a soprano, who is like one of the most well-respected actresses currently working today? I'm thinking maybe a Broadway performer. Who are you thinking?
I'm bad at vocalist types, so...
Let's just think for a second. Who is a good soprano that somehow hit the big time? I mean, Audra McDonald could do it, and was kind of her breakout performance when she was younger, but she might be a little too old for it. But so who would be the heir apparent to that?
You're going to have to tell
Laura Osnes, but she's hella problematic. We need a new Laura Osnes. Sierra Boggess could play the role.
We bring in
a Broadway star because we don't need as big a name for the secondary.
We already have Seth coming in to get people in, so we don't need the female lead to be a big name.
But then we've also got our third lead, Carrie Pepperidge, who is like
the daughter,
girl's best friend, and
the girl's best friend. Got it.
The girl's best friend, and she has her own marriage thing, and we can cast them with like well-respected Cecily Strong types, someone that can be a really comic presence.
Maybe bring back a Jesse Mueller so she can do it again.
Jesse Mueller would probably be good as the lead, to be honest.
That's true. Jesse Mueller would also be good, yeah.
Yeah, she was on Broadway as a lead. And
I saw her in Waitress. She's very good.
Oh, yeah.
I did.
So fill it all up, and then by the end, we have him go to hell. He still is damned for his deeds, but at least he knows he's going to damnation, making his daughter's life better. And he doesn't hit her. He does not hit his daughter.
Thank God.
He gets angry, she gets scared, and that's it. I feel like that's enough.
Is his daughter played by Dove Cameron?
Yes. Let's do that. Dove Cameron.
Because that'd be perfect.
So we get Dove Cameron as the daughter. She shows up for 3 days, does her scenes, and then leaves the movie forever. And then Seth MacFarlane pays for his actions, but is happy to go to the damnation because he will have left his daughter better. And I feel like that's a much more bittersweet ending. He doesn't immediately get accepted back to heaven because he did one good thing.
That's like that's what they did in All Dogs Go to Heaven. Because they had the dog go to heaven. And then the dog was like, I don't want to be in heaven. I'm a bad person. So he's like, okay, bye. And then he became a good person and went back to heaven.
Yeah, I don't want him. But the thing is, All Dogs Go to Heaven had the dog become a good person.
That's true. The dog did become a good person.
This one, he just hits his daughter. He got one more swing at a family member.
I do enjoy removing the child abuse aspect. That's good.
Yeah, the thing, it's so wacky. Like, let me describe for you that scene. He comes down from heaven with a star from heaven, and he's like, hey, you're a cute girl, like, in the fatherly way. He's like, I got a gift for you, and it's a star. And she's like, that's weird that you're giving me a gift, stranger. He's like, give it, take the gift, boom!
Okay.
And then she...
Ew.
Yeah. But the worst part, and this was cut in the Broadway version, the mom comes out and she me and Andrew made fun of it so much on our episode. The daughter's like, oh my god, when he hit me, it didn't feel like I got hit. It felt like as tender as a kiss. And then she asks, is it possible to like get hit, good hit real good and hard and not feel a thing? And then the mother's like, yes, it is possible to be hit, get hit good and hard and not feel a thing. And it said like the moral of the musical.
Fuck that so just noise.
Cut that out.
Fuck that noise. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. So Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel, one of their best scores. Terrible.
One of the
story.
Worst plots.
Oklahoma. Okay plot. I'm kind of actually into it. It's a good like three-hander.
Yeah. I like the series of love triangles. It's very interesting. Yeah. Keeps story engaging, even though Judd Fry is kind of an over-exaggeration of a toxic man.
Have you looked into Oklahoma That Fucks?
Oh, I have looked into it, but there's no bootlegs of it, so it's really harsh.
In theory, I've got tickets to see it in February when it comes to Detroit. But Omicron and all that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll see if that even happens. But in the Judd Fry is framed as a good guy, basically. They frame him as like a socially awkward guy, and they make...
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
He doesn't come to murder them at the end. He just shows up, gives Curly the gun, and Curly shoots them, and they're covered with blood for the rest of the musical.
Yeah.
And you know where they do like the mock court case, and they're like, okay, so self-defense, right? He came at you, right?
Yeah.
And it's much more dark in that framing.
Oh, yeah.
They take a lot of the toxicity away from Judd Fry and make him an actual option.
Person. Yeah. Like, the love triangle scenes are conceivable now because Judd Fry is not a weird, gross monster. He's
with
now like
porn all over the walls.
But yeah, he has boobs all over his walls. I've seen the Hugh Jackman version. Context.
Yeah.
I've seen little bits of the movie.
The movie cuts out Judd Fry's one song, which is Lonely Room, which is one of the best musical theater villain songs ever.
Yeah. I also do, but I do like, one of the things I like about Oklahoma is the other love triangle with, I forgot her name, 8-0 Annie.
8-0 Annie.
I like the 8-0 Annie love triangle because it's a sexual, it's a woman who owns her sexuality and she knows it and she doesn't give a shit what people think, and I fucking love it.
But she has to learn to, like, to tame herself at the end.
She does. That's a little problematic, but I do like her character in the beginning. I'm like, yes. I like...
I'm a fuck who I want, where I want, what I want.
And I respect your choices, 8-0 Annie. Do what the fuck you want.
Yeah, but then there's the racial shit, like Ali Hakim.
Who's played by a white person in the Encore version, because...
Yeah, back to Encore. They just kind of glance right over that.
Yeah, they cut to him saying he's just like, I'm excited to play him, but they never got to what the racial aspect.
We never see any of it. He's like, I'm excited to be playing Ali Hakim.
And then they show him play one line, and then they move on.
Don't blame him. Good choice.
That was a good choice. Also, I love this version of Oklahoma contains no death or violence that the original has. Like, it just ends with them being married, and there's no quick court session. Judd Fry is dead and all this other shit. They just cut to the wedding, and it's like,
It looks like the most boring plot on the planet if you just look at what they do. And they also take it all out of order. Like, they play clips in the wrong order, and they didn't do that for any of the other musicals.
Yeah, that's weird. I guess Oklahoma's a weird show because it gets super dark.
Yeah.
And they don't want to, like, get into the death, especially. They do show them rehearsing old poor Judd is dead.
Yeah.
But they never show it.
I think they just wanted to focus on the guy playing Will Parker and him being in a wheelchair and still dancing and all that, which is the stuff
which
they should focus on.
Deeply compelling. Like, Woody as a character, you can say, because this is kind of, like, these shows are all kind of fake. It's his arc, and it's really, like, it's really well done, and you really connect with him, like, immediately.
All right, let's talk VIP. I mean, that's obviously Woody.
It's obviously Woody.
VIP.
It's obviously Woody.
But the sad part is, I think the worst player is Ado Annie, who...
Yeah.
She's trying so
hard. She's trying. I relate to her a lot. I had a lot of confidence issues in high school, and I get it. Like, it's really hard to, like, go back to your old high school and, like, relive all those moments you hated yourself. Like, I get how she feels, and she just needed more time, I think. She didn't.
Yeah,
she
and
needed
I don't
more
think
than
she
five
did
days.
Even bad. I feel like this is just a very good production, so by default, she wasn't that great.
Yeah, and she was next to Woody, and Woody's doing, like, a great job, and she's, like, trying.
Yeah.
She did her best, though. Like, I don't blame her.
Actually, the real least valuable players were the parents that come back.
My favorite part.
That don't have any lines.
I was skimming through it this morning before we recorded this, and my favorite part was when the mom is like, oh, I messed up that line, and the dad is like, no, you didn't mess up the line, Laura, Mr. Q, and so that's why you messed up your line. I'm just like,
oh.
Wow.
They're
what
both toxic.
What a
toxic.
What a burn, guys. What a burn. Oh, God. Dear God. I mean, they're both theater teachers.
Yeah.
So.
They're named after the theater.
Yeah, the theater's really named after them. So.
Yeah, I feel like their egos are soaring high.
Yeah.
However, their daughter and son-in-law are Lori and Curly,
and it's
cute.
It's so cute. Like,
I had this thought while watching them. They feel like sitcom parents. Like,
they do.
They look and feel like Lizzie McGuire's parents.
They do look like Lizzie McGuire's parents. I kept, whenever they were interviewed, I kept thinking they're gonna have a precocious son run into the shot and just be like, Mom, Dad, I'm in trouble at school or some shit like that. I'm like, I want this to be a sitcom with these two.
I would watch an entire, like, fuck the Kardashians, show me this.
Oh, yeah,
this
that'd be
middle class
so
family
cute.
That has it together.
That'd be so cute. They're like, they're just both drama teachers at a high school and they're just like doing their best life. Like, I want to watch that show. Give them a spinoff, Disney. Give them a call.
Yeah, I'd watch it. No one let them host Encore Season 2. Fuck Kristen Bell. She barely showed up. I would like them to go to
the first episode, and she's yet to come back.
Yeah, I mean, she's there in the intros, and that's it.
Yeah. Also, this episode is no Adam Wachter. I hate to report.
Okay, let's talk about the crew they bring in. So all the other ones, it's like, I was the director of Ragtime on Broadway. I'm a Broadway choreographer. And this guy's like, you know, I take Broadway shows and I make them for kids. And I choreograph some in L.A. someplace.
And the music director is like, I do music.
That was it. Like, this is the most, like, it's not professionals coming in. This is just like, oh, this is just a community theater production. Got it.
I think that's what made it so charming. It was just like, oh.
I think that's why this one worked.
Yeah.
You didn't have these Broadway people coming in treating these poor folks like garbage.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. They're just like, you guys are doing a great job. Even when the singing wasn't great a lot.
Yeah. Like, or what was it? The worst they did was Ado Annie, where it's like, hey, you're performing and I can see you performing. And that's not fun.
Yeah, it's not fun. Yeah, don't think about it. Just do it. Which I've heard in many, many theatrical spaces in my years of doing stage crew and watching people direct people. So
anything else you got to say about Encore? Anyone else?
I don't know. I can't think of anything. This episode was just cute. It was just really cute. It was really delightful.
The kissing.
That's what I was thinking of. The kissing. So for context, director, his name is Tim McDonald. I wrote it down. Yeah. His name is Tim McDonald. I was like, hey, so Lori and Curly have this kiss at the end of the show, and it's very impactful. So I don't want you to kiss for the next 3 days.
Which I think that's a cute idea, like, yeah, as a director. And I would have a difficulty because I see my girlfriend a lot and I love kissing her. But yeah, you go days and days without kissing your boyfriend.
I do. I go days, go many days. I go weeks sometimes.
Like, you're like, pussies.
No, that's literally my thought. Just like, get over it.
I mean, if you're used to kissing your wife all times, yeah, every time.
And that's true. I'm more used to the separation, so I'm like, I'll see him when I see him.
Raises his hands. Wait, do blowjobs count as a kiss?
I don't want to talk about that.
Answer me! Answer me, director man!
I refuse to answer you.
He just gets vehemently angry at him.
He does. Also, my favorite thing is there's a pre-interview before, like, 2 days before the show. He's just like, we went to bed last night, we didn't kiss, and it was super easy, and it was totally fine. And then it's like, but can this please be over now? Please. It needs to be over. He's like trying to play it G-rated right now. It's just like,
The camera's off. Y'all can't fuck either.
Guys can't y'all have can't sex. Fuck. He's gonna have sex. That was my first thought. Like, oh god. Everyone's like, they just got married a few years ago, so it's gonna be really hard for them. Also, the episode literally ends with them like, hey, shut up and kiss me, woman. He's like, don't talk to me anymore. I don't want to talk.
They seem cute. They seem like a legit happy couple. Cute. I feel like that was queued up by the camera person, though.
Yeah, that was definitely cute by the camera person. Like, that was... But they were so cute without the force of it. It was just like, yeah. Aw. Well, also, even when they were helping their parents run lines, it was like, helping the daughter's parents run lines. Like, aw. What a cute little family. I want a sitcom of these people.
Yeah, the theater people.
The honestly, theater sitcom.
Take them Encore Season 2 to every town. Let them help coach and all that.
They're all drama teachers. That'd be fun.
Yeah, they'd do it.
Adam Wachter can show up every once in a while and be Adam Wachter.
No, Adam Wachter is the host. Adam Wachter is the host.
Adam Wachter is the host, yes. Adam Wachter needs to be the host. This continues to be an Adam Wachter stan podcast.
Yeah, we are only here for Adam Wachter every day.
Literally.
I should invite him to another Patreon meetup.
Oh, you should. The last time we did it. I've been simping over him on podcasts for so long.
The thing is, he's just in the UK, so that's rough. We all know how late that is for our Ewan and Mina when they're
in
Canada,
so. Yeah, Ewan, I'm glad he does come to meetups, even if it's like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And Mina's delightful. Mina, if you're listening to this, you're delightful.
Yes, we love you all. But on that note, what is our cheese ratings on this episode?
Cheese rating. Crap, I forgot to think of a cheese rating.
I'll go first. I think it was pretty Gouda.
You just picked a Gouda for the pun, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm going to pick something I'm pretty sure is a Southern thing. I think so. I've seen enough Top Chef that I know about food. I watched a lot of Top Chef as a kid. Even when I was 8, I got really into Top Chef. And I watched it with my parents. That's how cool I was at 8 years old. Hell yeah.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
If it's a gay contestant, is it become Bottom Chef?
There's been many gay contestants and is not.
Dang it! Well, what if it's just a chef show just for gay men?
I think that's the gay spinoff would be called Bottom Chef.
Green light at Food Network.
Food Network. No, that's Bravo. But Bravo, call us.
Yeah.
Wait, or Logo. Even better. Logo. Call us. You're the gay network. You'd make that.
Yeah.
Totally. But yeah, I'm going to give it a pimento cheese. Because, I don't know, it's Southern. I really like this episode. It's very good. It's very Gouda.
Hell yeah. All right, guys.
Too.
You're great at puns, Liz. You're just as much of a dad as I am.
Yeah, I do love a dad joke.
We'll see. Oh, God. We'll see you next time on Patreon with G's.
Peace out.
And then what's her nuts? Kristen Bell's like, encore. I'm in every episode. Watch, I promise.
Dear God. Kristen Bell, I'm always here.
Me and my husband, Dak, I really don't have that great a relationship. Watch the TikTok that exposed us.
So many memories.
Being able to be in this show will be one of the greatest treasures of my life.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.